Welcome to Braindrop, the digital transformation podcast from VCOM, the leader in IT spend and lifecycle management. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Braindrop, the VCOM podcast where we invite our experts to stop by and drop a little of the latest digital transformation tech on our listeners. Hi, everyone. Working from home has become the new normal, and today we're going to discuss a few ways to make sure that we're not only being productive, but also keeping balanced with work and home life. So I'd like to welcome Randy Sullivan. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Braindrop.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great being here.
A few things before we get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at VCOM and how long you've been there?
Yes. So I've been at VCOM almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years in February. I am a network care representative. So my job at VCOM is to work with our customers and the account executive and the TSEs to help move services and manage those services within VCOM.
Thanks. We've obviously had a lot of changes this past year. It's been kind of weird. You and I used to see each other every week at our main office, but now we're both working from home. So how's that been going for you?
It's been different for sure. Yeah, I think it's been almost a year, which is a little bit hard to believe when most of us were sort of forced into this shift. Prior to VCOM, about half of my career was spent as a work from home employee. So the adjustment wasn't as difficult for me as I know it's been for some people out there, but it definitely has some challenges.
Yes, I would definitely agree that working from home has brought some very big challenges to many, especially those with children and other responsibilities. What would you say have been your biggest challenges to overcome, and how have you been able to organize things so that you're able to keep your work life and home life balanced?
I think it's really about breaking things down into a few key points. And, you know, I've done some reading about this and kind of solicited information from peers and other people in the industry. And it sort of breaks down into five categories. And those categories for me have been establish a schedule, number one. Two, have a dedicated workspace. Three, lay ground rules for your household. Four, have a social circle. And lastly, take care of yourself.
Okay, let's break those down one by one. Tell me first about how you were able to establish a schedule.
So for me, establishing a schedule is really based upon a lot of times the schedules of the customers that I support. What I try to do on a day-to-day basis is spend the beginning of the day answering emails, sort of having a review of the most important tasks that I have. And I try to align those most important tasks with the hours of the day where I feel like I'm most productive. This can be different for everybody. For myself, generally, it's probably between 9 and noon, maybe 9 and 1. If customer calls are during that time, then that's great. But if I'm working on specific projects or I need a little bit more focus, I try to block out time on my calendar to address those. And then I usually spend the last 30 minutes of every day just sort of reviewing my inbox again and starting to prioritize for the following day.
You know, I've always struggled with keeping a schedule. So I even try to set alarms on my phone to remind me to do certain things like drink water or to get up and stretch. I kind of have a tendency to just want to sit down and start working, and then hours will go by before I look up and realize I haven't moved at all or even eaten.
Another thing that's important is budgeting time. Having some variation in your calendar is very helpful. It helps me stay disciplined, and it also keeps me on task to make sure that I'm being the most productive that I can be. But I try to have some variation so that I'm not doing the same thing every day at the exact same time. For me, this helps keep things fresh, and it also helps me stay engaged, and it enables me to prioritize my tasks a little bit better.
Nice. You know, you really need to try and keep things interesting.
Something to watch out for, I've noticed, is you can call this different things. I call it creep. Basically, it's when you have a task or you have a select amount of tasks or you have a big project that you're working on, and it's very easy to get locked in on that task and perhaps it runs over, or then there's always going to be those types of things that come up. But I try to keep myself disciplined. And really what I do is when I set time for a specific project or task, if I'm still working on it at the end of that time period that I've blocked out, then sometimes I'll reprioritize, or if there's more menial tasks following it, I may push those a day or two down the line a little bit so I can stay focused on the project. But the most important thing there is to constantly prioritize what's important to you. And some people work really late, or some people work really early, and that works really well for them. But I would caution that if you get into a pattern that you find yourself doing that all the time, then it's going to eventually lead to burnout or stress. And working from home provides its own set of stressors already. So it's really important to sort of stay balanced.
I would definitely agree with that. It's way too easy to burn yourself out.
Absolutely. I recently read an article from the Wall Street Journal who did a study on work from home employees for Microsoft. Based on the study, it provided a couple of interesting findings. They said in the article that the average employee is working an extra 4 hours per week. Now, I know it's a pretty small sample size. Really, you know, Microsoft has thousands of employees. I think this is based on about 350, but I've read some other sources of information as well. And the general consensus seems to be that people are working more and not less, which may surprise some people. It may not be cutting down on commute times. Some people are waking up and they can literally go downstairs or literally roll out of bed and start working. So there's a lot of time that's saved, but we have to be cognizant of these extra hours.
And another thing that you mentioned was having a dedicated workspace. So how does that help?
I believe that having a dedicated office is by far the best option, but it's not always realistic. Each home has its own dynamic, and each home is going to have its own set of distractions with a different number of family members. I'm fortunate enough to have a room that is dedicated every workday to my laptop, the tools that I have for my job, a nice, well-lit area. So I always suggest that if you have a place where there's natural light, that seems to help. The other thing is, if you don't have a dedicated space, and maybe that space may have to fluctuate given the schedules of other members on your household, try to find the most secluded place that's available to you. And that's just going to help with your focus. Sometimes headphones can also help if there's background noise.
I love my noise-canceling headphones. I wear them most of the day, and they really do help with focus. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about establishing some ground rules in the household.
This is a big challenge for a lot of people, and that's simply due to the fact that there's multiple priorities going on at once, right? If you have a significant other, they may be working from home also. If you have children, remote learning has been a huge adjustment for everyone. And even if everything else was quote unquote normal, there's day-to-day family life. The household presents a different environment than the office. For me, it was important, and my children are younger, they're not 9 and 6. Having these boundaries helped me avoid the blur of work and home life.
Communication is the key to keeping everyone on the same page and hopefully eliminate some of the friction that can arise.
The most critical parts of my day, I always talk to my children because they're really the ones that are most likely to interrupt things. If I have an important call or an online presentation with a customer, for example, I try to talk to them maybe 30 minutes to an hour before the event. Hopefully, with them both doing remote learning, there's not going to be any distractions. But if I take that couple of minutes and just let them know that I'm going to be on an important call or a presentation, I'm essentially establishing a boundary. I'm reinforcing its importance, and they know that I'm not to be interrupted during that time. Because I am fortunate enough to have a dedicated office, I put a small sign on the door. The door remains closed and it just says that I'm not available. So they know if they see the sign on the door that something important is happening in the office and that they need to stay out. Now, if there's less critical tasks, I won't have a sign on the door, but I'll have the door closed. I have talked to my kids about the courtesy factor of knocking softly twice and then poking their head in the door if they have a question or if they need help. Essentially, they know if there's no sign on the door that I may or may not be available to help them. So I've found that using that has actually worked really well. And I've been really impressed by how my kids have adjusted to that. They don't just barge into the room, which they may have done when they were younger. And for those that have young kids at the house, I think most people understand that this work from home becoming the norm in the past year, there's a lot of forgiveness, right? People generally understand that sometimes there's interruptions. I sometimes leave my door open, which essentially means that, you know, whatever tasks I'm doing, they're probably less important. My children know that if my door is open, then they are free to come in and ask a question or request assistance, depending on what it is. Just a few tips there to try to set those boundaries with your family members. And again, that I think that kind of helps everybody stay on task, and you're making yourself available, but also not completely locking yourself into a room.
Another issue that we're all dealing with is not being able to socialize regularly with our family and friends and coworkers. In keeping a social circle, how has that been able to make a difference?
Most of us are isolated, as you mentioned. Going into the office was the norm for me, and then seemingly overnight that all changed. So I think if you know you have a social circle, whether they're friends, they don't even have to work for your same company, they could be industry peers, they could just be close friends, I strongly recommend that either having some kind of group text, group chat, just to kind of keep tabs, right? Just see how things are going, you know, share a laugh, share a funny meme or a joke or something. It's always good to check in on each other, depending on, you know, the type of job that people have, they may not see anybody other than their immediate family. So it's important to connect, you know, whether or not you're an introvert or an extrovert. You know, maybe your social circle is only two or three people, but you know you can depend on those two or three people as friends. It's just super easy to sort of stay in our bubble and not reach out. But we all need social interaction as human beings. It's a need for everyone. So having access to communication and technology, hopefully for everyone, that's readily available. And it generally just keeps things light. It's very easy to get stressed out about work in general. And when you have the stresses of home combined, it's okay to share a laugh or two every day. I think at the end of the day, it's going to make you feel more connected even to your company, because you know you're having that social interaction with your friends, which hopefully gives you good vibes and good energy, which you can carry over into having a productive workday.
I think a quick text or phone call from a friend during the day can be a real lifesaver. It helps eliminate some of the cabin fever we can feel. And it's also a good reminder that we're not alone. We're all navigating this new normal together.
Right. It is so important that we have these texts and access to our friends and things like that. But keep in mind, too, it's super important to actually participate and nurture those circles. If you've got great friends, but you're not checking in with them, it defeats the purpose of having the social circle. So definitely keep things active and fun, and that'll keep everyone productive and focused.
Exactly. You've got to keep those relationships alive. And then lastly, let's talk about taking care of yourself. How do you stay healthy and in a positive mindset?
A positive mindset is so important because, as I've mentioned before, just the stresses of your job requirements and home life and the world at large, I mean, there's just so much going on. I think the first thing is don't be too hard on yourself. Most people are their biggest critic, right? We all hold ourselves to a higher standard, and just pause every once in a while and say, hey, I'm doing a good job. I'm doing the best that I can. A great way to do that is just like in the workplace, if you're working from home, you're going to have some wins along the way, even if they're small. Share them with your family, share them with your friends, your social circle. Just having that positive outlook is going to allow you to really maximize your mindset and your day-to-day job. And you're going to have those days where you're just not feeling it. Meditate, go for a walk, get outside. We have to find ways to cope with this, you know, unique situation. Give yourself that time, right? And maybe that changes your mindset. Maybe you're ready to go back to that thing that you were working on, you know, before you got distracted. But if you're not, then that's okay. If it's something that doesn't have a specific deadline, maybe you can rebalance your time for the next day to get that done and still feel good about it. don't be afraid to ask for help, right? If you've got a good peer group at your job, if you've got a great family dynamic or a friend's dynamic, if you're feeling too much stress, don't be afraid to say, hey, I don't know what it is, but I'm having a tough day. And your company may have support resources available to you. Hopefully your manager is very understanding of situations like that. You know, if all else fails, take a mental health day, right? Maybe go. I try to stay pretty regimented as far as a fitness routine. It truly is like the one thing that I can do for myself on a daily basis. And I think it's helped with my mindset and sort of limit stresses on most days.
Yeah, I do the same thing too. I think going for a walk outside especially can be good for clearing your head a little.
The last thing that I would suggest too, and this is a little bit more of a humorous topic, but get dressed. Well, I have a customer-facing role at DCOM. I do feel like I need to look and feel my best. It's kind of like looking the part, right? If you have a customer-facing role or you're working with industry peers or partners, then, you know, generally people are going to feel better. And we do have some more flexibility working from home, but please don't show up to staff meetings in your pajamas, basically.
Wait, so I can't work in my pajamas?
I'm going to say that you probably shouldn't work in your pajamas, maybe Friday.
Okay, deal. Well, thanks so much, Randy. We appreciate all of the helpful suggestions and hearing about your experiences in working from home.
Thank you so much, Nicole, for the opportunity. I had a great time.
If you have any questions about the topics you hear on Braindrop, feel free to email us at braindrop@vcomsolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Nicole Wunderlin for VCOM. Enjoy your day.